While I would like to go through the whole of 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to begin in 1 Corinthians 15, 52, or the end of 51. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Well, you know the feeling of spending much of your life building relationships. And then you say something, and all the work of 20 years has just vanished like that. It could be true of a church, that you can work hard to preach the gospel in the neighbourhood, and then someone goes astray, and all that work, 20 years, is undone, and will take another decade, probably, before it can be built up again. But this is the opposite. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed, not wreck everything. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. It would be nice to be changed now. It doesn't matter how young you are, you've got exams to do, or you've got growing up to do, or pains to suffer, or maybe you're older and have seen things you would like to have done no longer possible, or you're older still and have difficulties with health and pains and things like that. We'd like our bodies to be changed. We can't do it. And even with the best help of doctors and the best medication, some things may not yield, but if things yield, they're usually quite slow. I wanted you to feel the power of being changed in the twinkling of an eye. Try twinkling of an eye. I wouldn't be able to measure 0.002 perhaps of a second, I don't know. Twinkling of an eye. And that is the time it will take the Lord Jesus to raise from the dead, with scattered bones and scattered body perhaps, millions of believers. Biggest descriptions, no. We're not worried about that, that there are millions of them particularly, but simply hear what it means for ourselves, that by believing in Christ, that by belonging to him, we inherit the most fundamental of all his powers to raise from the dead. And he will raise us from the dead. Now, of course, when we're dead, we're very dead. Try poking a dead mouse or something. You can make the tail wobble, perhaps, but really, you can't do anything to make the thing move. If you're dead, you are very dead. But the giving of life to Christ, by Christ, is of nothing. It's that which is simplest in his sight. So just as we look briefly at just a few of these things, think of it happening to you. Think of it happening to all the others also who believe. But think of it as to yourself, as to strengthening your faith. Now, Paul said that when we're dying, we die in the corruption of our bodies. The particular evil thoughts that we were likely to think, particular pride that we were apt to show off about, or our skills that we were showing off about. Perhaps the sort of nasty things that we said about people. These things, even if we don't do them, the trouble is things get worse in old age, but even if we don't do them, these things are still going to cling to our bodies. As we die, these are corruptible bodies. And corruptible also in the sense that they're not going to last forever. They will decay. They will spoil. They will run down. To make you all happy, I read once that you're on the up until you're about 20, and from then on you begin to decline. I'm sure that'll make you all feel happy. But we do decline, and our bodies do decay. You'll laugh at this. But something's gripped you when they're a child and you don't really know why. And it used to be quite the done thing for the scouts in our neighbourhood, but not us, to sing, John Brown's body lies a mouldering in the grave, but his soul goes marching on. No idea what it meant, but I enjoyed singing it. And I remembered the words, mouldering in the grave. Very often, when I bury somebody, I think mouldering in the grave. It is dramatic, but it's real. Absolutely real. Something that we cannot escape. And the glorious gospel of Christ has as an aspect the forgiveness of sins, but it also has as an important aspect eternal life. So, as long as we live, we're going downhill. As long as we live, we're making our way towards complete and final decay. But when the Lord raises these body of ours, they will be perfect. Now you know that some people's bodies in the old days, their head was cut off and the head was thrown away in one place and the body in another. Or as in the picture of Ezekiel 37, the very dry bones got all scattered and they were brought together bone to his bone. And the Lord will wonderfully take our bodies that were buried. And even if they were scattered, and there was another song the scouts used to sing, yeah, go and eat worms. And worms, of course, may have digested some part of the decaying matter of our bodies, and the birds eaten the worms and so on. I reduce it to ridicule in the sense that nothing is too hard for the Lord to restore, and he does it all at once. Indeed, it's a good picture of revival. Or should I say revival is a picture of this resurrection. So, you and I, we will be raised. And we won't have the headaches. And we won't have the blindness. And we won't have the deafness. And we won't have the heart failure. And we won't have the fears. We won't have any of those things that have plagued us throughout our lives. Asthma. Eczema. Any of those things. They'll be gone. And our new bodies will be fitted to be perfect forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. As long as God exists, and that is to eternity. That's your future. That's my future. That's the believer's future. And therefore it is the most integral part of preaching the gospel, that people should know that this is what lies ahead. Our bodies are sown in dishonor. We die with some of our dishonor upon us. In the cases of people who are hanged, of course, or for that reason, their dishonour is very public and staid. But for all of us, the things that we've done wrong, or the hurt that we've done, never entirely goes and can reappear at all times. It's still part of us. But as we die, that dishonour is still upon us. But when we're raised, it's glorious. That is to say, nobody else will remember your dishonour. You won't remember it, and you'll not remember anybody else's dishonour. It will all be made absolutely perfect. It will be raised in glory. There'll be nothing that will cause hurt to anybody else. And even if we have done something that was very wrong and people would never forgive us for, they will in glory and we'll be restored. There'll be no dishonor, no memory of it in that sense. The bodies will be raised. And it will be sown in weakness. Well, now I have a vested interest in this. I used to cycle for 400 miles. I struggled to walk 100 yards up the road. We're getting weaker. And it doesn't matter in what way it is or how it is. We are getting weaker. Once we've reached a certain age, and perhaps it's even true of certain things in childhood, like if a child was paralyzed or something like that. So we die in weakness. Now, just to be stupid, but let you think about it. If somebody said to you when you're dying, are you looking forward to walking to heaven? I think it's impossible, isn't it? But we'll go there. We'll get there. We die in weakness, but we're raised in power, the power of God, to sustain us, to transform us, to keep us. All these things we shall be through Christ, through believing in him. And then we're a natural body with natural bodily functions and the needing of air and of water and of food. When Jesus appeared before he ascended on high, it was still his same recognizable body. He was still able to eat fish. But equally, he could walk through a door. And equally, go from one place to another in an instant. Quite exactly, the things that are prepared for us aren't described, but we've got enough here. We die a natural body and we're raised a spiritual body. We'll be recognizable to one another, even as Christ was recognizable, but there will be those changes. Now, that we are raised a spiritual body is something really worth thinking about. All other religions that believe that there is an eternal life usually only believe that it's a life of the spirit. We believe in a bodily resurrection. Christ is now in heaven with his mediatorial body made perfect from the scars and the wounds that he had. We shall go to heaven. Obviously ourselves. Obviously recognizable. Perhaps no grey hair, no things like that, you know. But obviously knowable to one another. And yet, as spiritual bodies, we will not have some of the difficulties that we had before. Maybe we can fly, maybe not, I don't know. But we certainly should meet the Lord in the air. So we shall be raised as spiritual bodies. Now all this, says the scripture, shall happen in the twinkling of an eye. I show you a mystery, says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Sleeping here means dying. Now, when the Lord Jesus returns, there will be many believers alive. They won't sleep. So we shall not all sleep. But those who died before the coming of Christ will have done, in that sense, where death is described as sleep. But whether we're alive at the time of Christ, or whether we're not, we shall all be changed. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And there's more about that, which I may have time to come to in 1 Thessalonians in a moment. Now, here's a wonderful thing. When the Lord returns, he comes in the air, and the scripture is quite clear, though it's not mentioned here, that he brings all his believers with him since the time they've died. The bodies were left here, so it has to be their souls, their spirits. He brings them with him, and they are reunited with their bodies. Whereas those who are alive when Christ returns, their bodies are changed there and then. They will change there and then, but you see what I mean. One lot are dead and their souls are rejoined. The other lot have their souls joined to their bodies. Now, let me just read you this little bit from 1 Thessalonians 4. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, that is, have priority over those which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So, those who are alive will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, but those who died before will equally and instantly at the trumpet of God be raised from the dead. And if there is an instant difference, they will be first and the others will follow. They'll be caught up together with them in the air. So, we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound. Trumpet was usually for alarm, or to call to war, or obviously to make people aware that you're to gather somewhere. So the trumpet shall sound, and the voice of the Lord in that trumpet shall raise the dead. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we'll have this tremendous change. Death will no longer have dominion. It is something to look forward to. Paul concludes this chapter by saying, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. There is a sense in which it doesn't matter what happens to us, because we shall all be gathered for eternity to be with the Lord. And how does eternity compare with 50 years, 60, 70 years of trouble by health, trouble by the enemies of the gospel, or even by martyrdom? Eternal life more than outweighs all of these things, though nobody, of course, wants the death in that sense. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. I have this mischievous thought. I can't envisage quite how it's all happening. But supposing you were one of those who were alive when the Lord returned. Maybe you get worried to see all these other bodies whizzing beyond you and wonder if you were going to meet them in the air yourself. However, timing has nothing to do with it. It is all in the twinkling of an eye, virtually means instantaneous. But he is explaining how those who've already died are at no disadvantage as far as being raised forever to be with the Lord. May that be our faith. Not only our faith in theory that we believe Christ came and that Christ raises from the dead, but actually as part and parcel of our basic thinking, we are absolutely sure of this. And whatever fears we might have, we do have fears about pain or this or that, it's all outweighed by the wonder of this great knowledge of Christ and power of Christ, to know who's to be saved and lifted up and who have the power to do it. We are in his hands.